I keep blowing down the road. I ain't got me nobody. I don't care me no more.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and as usual, that means it's time for The Other Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Stacy McCain.
And I'm not. I'm the other guy on The Other Podcast, folks. It's John Hoag here. And I see lit up on the indicator panel here that we should be able to hear our lovely Diana.
I'm here.
Yes, you are.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. Well, actually, she is in Valdosta, Georgia.
Exactly, Valdosta. And Stacy, you should work your mic a little closer. You're got more room in your than your voice there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I thought I was loud enough.
But oh, you're loud enough, but you've got the room echo
you've
coming.
Got an
oh,
echo.
Okay. Echo. Well, yeah. How are you Weaver. Down there in Valdosta? What's the news down there lately?
Right this instant, there was a major rollout just under my windows from the Valdosta PD. I have no idea what it's about because I don't do the scanner thing, but we may hear about it later.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it was an aspiring rapper.
Probably.
We'll get to that in a little while. Meanwhile, perhaps it was somebody lurking along the path to citizenship.
Yes. The item from my blog, Build a Path to Citizenship. Okay.
Well, I mean, there's kind of a panic going on since the judge in Texas finally ruled in Texas versus the U.S. case. And said that DACA was...
DACA is dead.
Well, DACA was illegal all along. And basically, his order is that, okay, there are people who've been relying on this, and so we're going to put that on hold until the Supreme Court rules on the case. But because another court issued an order requiring the Department of Homeland Security to continue taking applications. He said, fine, really? Take the applications and put them in the inbox and don't do anything with them. Okay. So basically the whole thing is on hold both ways until it gets to the Supremes.
Meanwhile, in Congress,
they're trying to just short circuit the whole thing.
Democrats and Republicans from the open borders lobby are trying to cram permanent legal status for illegal aliens into the reconciliation.
How about no?
Yeah. Senator Alex Padilla, chairman, wait a minute. Chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee's immigration panel.
Which is ridiculous. He was simply appointed to fill in Kamala Harris's unfulfilled term, which means that why is he senior? This makes no sense.
Yeah. This guy has never been elected to that seat.
Oh, heck no.
And yet he's the chairman of the immigration subcommittee?
Well, that's further. Schumer's appointment.
Well, further. He was Alex Padilla. If Stacy, you're really great at Google. Would you hit up his history? Trust me.
All right.
He was not elected to very much.
Yeah, no. He was a state senator, wasn't
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he's from L.A.,
Yes.
Right, and he's been a firm supporter of Governor Herringdale.
Well, yeah. Because
He's not even 50 years old. Okay, he spent 7 years on the L.A. City Council.
Yeah,
beginning in 1999 when he was only 26.
Yes.
He became president of the L.A. City Council in 2001,
None of this is anything that recommends him for higher office.
No.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, anyways.
I mean, that's not a period
of scant resume, shall we say.
Well, not only that, it's not a period of successful city government in L.A.
No. Yeah, his record is kind of shabby.
Non-existent.
But I hope we're not going to put out any misinformation about him.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
But well, we might get banned.
Yes, you could get banned.
Across all social media platforms.
According to Jen Psaki.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Trump files a really, on the surface of it, flaky lawsuit against social media operations, claiming that they were shutting him down and that the continued shutdown is their interaction with the government. And then, mm-hmm. like, there's no grounds for this lawsuit. And then Psaki runs her mouth.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here? You know?
The gang that couldn't shoot straight? I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, on the other hand, our newspaper of record, the Babylon Bee, has a headline that said, to avoid First Amendment concerns, the Biden administration announces that they are going to let Facebook run the gulags.
Yeah. What's going on here? And there was an excellent thing, by the way, at InstaPundit. He was quoting from Twitter, but saying that what this is really about, it goes back to 2016.
Yes.
Where they believe Democrats convinced themselves that the reason Trump was elected was because of, quote unquote, misinformation on the internet. So their idea is if they can label anything they don't like as misinformation and use that as an excuse to ban it, people from social media, they can ban their way to victory.
Well, yes, but I saw a wonderful meme of Jen Psaki with a tiara on her head and a ribbon across her chest that said misinformation.
Nice. Yeah.
We can meme, they can't.
Yes.
But, you know, seriously, it's getting more and more looking like the gulag stuff I don't think it literally in the sense of what happened to the Japanese in the 40s under the Democrats. But, but gulagging in the sense of what's happened to you and me on Twitter.
Yes. Well, you know, the situation is that, is it Joe Biden literally said to, he was asked, what's your message for Facebook? And he said, you're killing people. Facebook is killing people by allowing people to discuss vaccines or whatever. And this goes back to what, I forget who it was that was being quoted at InstaPundit, but this idea that Facebook memes or if people talking on Facebook was why Hillary lost the election.
Oh,
and
no.
So now, supposedly, and one of the, what enrages me so much about this, okay, is that the people who are screaming about misinformation, right? Okay, you're so smart, right? Okay, that you can look at Facebook and tell what is and is not true. But, oh, the rest of us are all dummies, right?
Well, no.
And grandma is going to drink bleach because somebody on Facebook told her to do it.
Well, look, here's what's going on. It doesn't have anything to do with the truth. It has to do with the narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly these folks are absolutely expert at determining whether what they're reading, hearing, saying involved with fits their narrative.
Yeah.
And Yeah, we're hearing a little bit of crackle in her voice, but that happens from time to time.
Okay. Have you talked about the signal issue?
It comes and goes. And I think it's just in our phones, because when I've listened to the recordings, it hasn't been so bad.
Anyway,
but the other thing is that I'm wondering if they actually have, you know, with all the housing they're having to provide for illegal immigrants, if they have even the tent space to, if they really get into gulagging, or whether they're actually going to have to maybe rent cruise ships or something like that and do offshoring.
Remember what the Soviets did. What they did to the kulaks was that they took them with essentially what they could carry, and they dumped them someplace on the taiga and said, "Hello, this is your new home. Make it prosper."
But some of them did, actually, which was really frightening. But
also, for the gulag, sometimes the prisoners arrived and built the gulag. And because they were so desperate for shelter, because this is up in Siberia, they did it. I mean, it sounds insane, but they did it.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, there's a whole bunch of Never Trumpers, though, who might have jobs on the cruise ships.
Yes. I had a post this week called Whither the Ahoy Coalition.
You call them the Ahoy Coalition. I'm with my radio background, I refer to them as the Crystal Set.
Yes. Okay. Well, Kurt Schlichter popularized, if he did not invent the use of Ahoy as a jab to make fun of the cruise ship conservatives. For example, the staff of the defunct Weekly Standard, whose Never Trump politics led them sailing off into irrelevant oblivion. Now, I have to explain to folks that the annual Weekly Standard cruise was part of the subscriber specials, right? And National Review also did an annual cruise for their subscribers. And so this kind of cruise ship conservative thing was really just a gift for people who wanted to be up close and personal with political celebrities they recognize from watching Fox News.
Well, but you know,
to be absolutely fair, I always wanted just one chance to listen to lectures by VDH, Victor Davis Hanson. I didn't care about any of the rest of it. I just wanted to be able to have some special access to a lecture by VDH. That's all.
But that was the only thing that seemed remotely attractive to me, say, 15 Correct. Years ago for the National Review stuff. The one that I almost signed up for, though, wasn't a cruise. A couple of years running, the guys around Instapundit and Vodka Pundit, that group, had a automatic weapons weekend at a ranch in Texas, and I almost signed up for that one.
Well, the drinking in the evening would probably have been worth the price of admission.
Yes. Yeah. It was bourbon and full auto.
Oh, my. Was
the thing. Well, anyways, but, you know, these people have become, you know, an embarrassment to themselves. By the way, Twitter just had a punch around with Bill Kristol. Because
the ratio approached infinity.
Yeah. It was bad. It was just bad. But anyway, Stephen Hayward, after the Bulwark, and I give our readers at my blog, I give them a little hint of what Ace of Spades thinks the Bulwark is really about. What?
Don't make me laugh that hard.
Anyways,
I'm
well,
water, and I'm in danger of like spewing out my
One of our commenters has called, you know, puts up the art for the cuck shed, as they called it. But anyways, former National Review, former Weekly Standard contributor Stephen Hayward, who blogs at Powerline, reflected on what happened to Crystal and Company. Quote, Trump is gone now, and his opponents can claim a large measure of vindication in the ignominious end of his term. Yet the never Trumpers. Oh, there's
Ginger.
Our dog barking.
Ginger.
Anyways, I'm saying, yet the never Trumpers seem by degrees to have become never Republicans. Okay. Yeah. Bill and several of his colleagues at the Bulwark seem to have decided that throwing Trump over the side and Trump friendly Republicans with him isn't enough. They now seem to be throwing aside conservatism itself, suddenly attacking conservative views on climate change, healthcare, and many other issues.
Well, you know, most of them are what were called neoconservatives, which were liberals who got mugged by reality. And unfortunately, they basically, they didn't get all the goodies they thought from being the wonderful intellectuals they were. And so now they are casting about trying to find some other means of having some impact.
It's just sad. What this was about was that the Bulwark published a genuinely obnoxious attack on the conservative Claremont Institute. And I skimmed it. I won't say that I read the whole thing, but I skimmed over it. And I know some people affiliated with the Claremont Institute, but I won't name them, okay? I won't name my friends over there, because if I name them, it might, I don't want to give them a profile.
Don't pin a target on their back.
Yeah. I mean, for me to be their friend, but I emailed one of my friends over there, and I said, just keep your head down, okay? Just stay out of the limelight until the coast is clear. And this
well, not only that,
kerfuffle blows over. But what? And I told him, I said, keep an eye on Caldwell. I've never trusted that guy.
Well, but here's the thing. The Claremont Institute has a track record like and a reputation for being successful at what they do.
As opposed to...
Have you looked at their endowment in the last few years?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, our 501c3 expert...
Yes, well, I mean,
Diana.
Well, there are some entities that just are too big to be taken down, and there are others. There are others that are big enough to fight back.
Correct. Nobody is too big to be taken down. There are ways you can attack almost anything.
I think Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation is probably reasonably secure.
Ford, Heinz, Rockefeller, Trust for Public Land, a few others I can think of are going to be really hard targets. But... to be honest, I would be very, very, very leery of trying to go after the Claremont Institute. Just me.
Well, they have too much in the way of resources, and I don't just mean financial.
You are correct. They have not just the financial, they have the intellectual, legal, institutional. They have everything. Don't
yeah.
touch
well,
them.
Well, I
and the sustainable donor base.
Oh, yes.
But you know, it and because if, you know, eventually it gets down to a vote someplace, whether it's an appeals court vote or a vote in Congress to settle an issue or something like that. And Claremont Institute may not always be on the side of the people who happen to be running the show, but they have enough clout that those people still would want to take care. But it makes a difference in who's counting the votes.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm trying to remember who said that.
Really, it was Stalin. This occurred at the Congress of Victors, call it 1932. When there were only three votes against Stalin and four Kirov. This is an important issue. This is important. You have to pay attention to it because there were probably a lot more people willing to vote for Kirov as secretary as opposed to Stalin as secretary and premier. But it didn't matter who cast the votes. It mattered.
Yes, and that's what our president has just told us about why audits of the 2020 election are a bad thing. They are attacks on what he called our democracy. My post about it basically said our who.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reminded of the story about the woman who asked Franklin whether we were getting a monarchy or a republic, and he said, "A republic if you can keep it." So, you know, that's the thing. But math is hard, and you not only have to use math to count the votes, you have to use math to count the cost. And the cost of living, the consumer price index, rose 3.9% between January and May. Now, if you do the compound interest math on that, that's an annual rate of 9.5%. And people are talking about the monthly rate is the highest bump since like 2007, 2008, that era. But the annualized rate hasn't been that high in 1979, it was 11.3%. In 1980, it was 13.5%. Oh. In 81, it was 10.3%. Then it dropped down into the 4 and 5% range for a decade. Gee, I wonder what happened just before 1979 or so that would cause that sort of increase. And then what would have happened in 1981 and years following that would then push the rates back down?
Yeah. Carter versus Reagan. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Carter's second term is really starting to look like the best case scenario for the next few years.
You know, I have an issue with that. I'm okay, but I have neighbors who are on fixed incomes. And I mean, I got one of my neighbors to sign up for a program just to get lunches, food through the weekend. I'm really frightened by what we're doing to our pensioners here.
I'm frightened about what's happening to young people, okay? I got out of the Army in 1972, and I was looking through some old financial records about, you know, and I got married at the end of the 70s. So, you know, that was my really getting a career started. And I actually did really well in terms of promotions and that sort of stuff. But during the Carter administration, the inflation was in the double digit range, but my raises only averaged about 9%. So I actually lost ground, even though I was getting promotions. My paychecks didn't keep up with inflation. So I'm also concerned about what's going to happen with young people trying to get a start in life.
And they've already got all this ridiculous student debt.
Yeah. But, you know, counting is you know, important. Of course, the Arizona audit involved about accounting, and there was that Arizona Senate hearing this week. And while that hearing was in progress, it was very interesting that Dominion Voting's website went down for a while.
It may have not been able to handle the traffic.
No, they had fewer than 200 hits that day until a few people were checking it. So, and then of course they had lots of hits as soon as now, you know, there are lots of reasons why it could have gone down. But basically it's a WordPress website, just like Hogwash. And it went into there's no website up mode. In other words, it was the, here, put your email and address and password in so you can set your website up. So basically the site went down. And it came back up, and it came back up piecemeal. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. I found that interesting. You know, Stacy, the next topic we've got on our agenda here is labeled criminal music. Mm-hmm. And we were going to start off with that string of things that you came up with, but I'm going to flip the order and just talk about an anniversary. Today is the 9th anniversary of the most popular post at Hogwash. It has to do with a review that Mrs. Hogue and I did of Brett Kimberlin's CD the band's called Epoxy, and the name of the CD is Nothing Else. And let's just say that it was a less than favorable review. But one of the things that I have done on and off is check to see if you could get the CD on Amazon. And for a while, it was available on Amazon through Amazon. But then it went away. But now I checked, and if you go to Hogwash, there's the Team Kimberlin Post of the Day for today has republished the review. And at the bottom, there's a link. There actually are a couple of sellers on Amazon with what they are calling used and collectible versions of the CD. So if somebody would really enjoy hearing Brett Kimberlin's music, and they use the link at Hogwash, I get a cut of the action, which is a way to support the blog. The other way that you can support our blogs involves things like the use of yellow buttons.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to my blog, theothermccain.com, you will notice in the near the top of the center column, a yellow button with the word donate on it. If you will click the yellow button, it will take you to my PayPal account where you can contribute to the support of the blog, also to the podcast, but mainly to keep my wife happy. And that's my main job, is keeping my wife happy. So supporting my blogging habit is very important.
She just nodded yes, by the way.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. By the way, Diana, it's possible that next month, thanks to the tip jar hitters, that I will be blazing through Valdosta on my way to Florida. I'm going to be rattling the tip jar in coming days. I am planning a trip to Florida because, as you know, there's been a lot of news out of Florida, and we're going to get some of that news. But there's been a lot of news out of Florida lately involving a certain governor that you may have heard of. But anyway, so I just want to let you know, give you a heads up. But meanwhile, over at my good friend John Hogue's blog, Hogwash.com.
You can click on the icon of a tip jar and be taken off to my PayPal account where you can help support the blog. Or you can shop using the link to the Hogwash store and buy all sorts of things, interesting things, tchotchkes, widgets that have branding associated with the blog. Or, as I said about Amazon links, there you can use those Amazon links at Hogwash or at the other McCain to help support the blog. We get a cut of the action when they're used, just like all the other bloggers who are part of the Amazon affiliate program. Great way to support a blogger is to use those Amazon links. Regardless, we ask you, please remember the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Please, yes, indeed. Now, moving back along, you know, I met my lovely bride in the music business, and that actually we met in New York City in the Grand Ballroom of the Waldorf. But that's another story. But we started our lives together in the music business in Nashville. So music is an important part of my life. But we have these aspiring rappers that you've been writing about.
Yeah, what happened, folks, this week was that I had a story called 64 Shots. Londre, KTS Dre Sylvester, gunned down outside Chicago jail. And this is a story about Londre Sylvester, 31, whose younger brother, Devon Cutthroat Vaughn Davis, was killed in a 2015 drive-by shooting. Well, now it appears that Londre, a.k.a. KTS Dre, is dead. Oh, well, it appears he's dead. He was shot 64 times. As many as 64 times. They counted the shell casings and found 59 of them. So apparently it was entry wounds and exit wounds. It kind of, he was pretty much a sponge by the time they were through with him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm sure that most of us who are serious about our use of firearms for self-defense use ammunition that's designed to impart the maximum
penetrate.
Well, basically designed to provide the maximum effect on a target, whereas you see a lot of cheap full metal jacket ammo used, and these shots. So yeah, the fact that there are a lot of exit wounds is not the least bit surprising in a situation like this.
Well, anyways, one of his videos, the videos is that it's Kill to Survive. KTS is the name of an alliance of Chicago gangs, okay? And this KTS was the theme of the late Londre Sylvester's music. And you know, it's basically, it's what they call drill music, which is drill, a substitute for shoot. Okay, so it's gangs rapping about how they killed their rivals. So after doing that, I began noticing a theme as I was researching in the headlines, okay? And so I began on Friday a series of posts called Aspiring Rapper Update. Okay. One of which is Jacavius Denard Smith, a.k.a. Glock 9.
That was complicated, dear.
Yes, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to get all of these stories right. Okay, Glock 9.
Yet another rapper update, which had my head just spinning.
Okay, get her to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Diana.
Yes. Yes.
Would you please disconnect and reconnect because the feedback on the signal is, I don't know what it's, well let's
try and see if it wants to get better. All right.
Yeah, but Glock 9 was from Orlando. Is from Orlando. He's still alive, and the reason he's still alive is because he's in custody. The police have arrested him after apparently he fraudulently applied for and received $10,000 in federal Paycheck Protection Program funds. He also pleaded guilty to possession of an unregistered firearm, aggravated identity theft, and felon in possession of a firearm. Okay, so that was my first aspiring rapper update, which was followed by another aspiring rapper update about the recent demise of Zarael Dejan Rivera, a.k.a. Indian Red Boy. Now, this made headlines all over the rap community because what Indian Red Boy had done, and by the way, red is the color of the Bloods gang, with which Indian Red Boy was affiliated. You see that Indian Red Boy had apparently dissed the recently deceased rapper known as Nipsey Hussle. Nipsey Hussle was shot dead a couple of years ago. Nipsey Hussle was a Crip. See, he was with the Rolling 60s, I think, was the particular set of Crips that Nipsey Hussle was with. Well, anyways, there is a mural in the South LA to Nipsey Hussle, which got defaced. And apparently Indian Red was in on that somehow. And he was doing an Instagram live chat with a buddy of his when, if you've seen it, and it went viral, this video, he looks up to his left. He's sitting in a car, and then he looks up to his left, and then bang, 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 and next thing you know, he's going, help, 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 and he bleeds out. If you watch the video, probably most people would find it offensive, but some of us are not very sympathetic to gangbangers killing each other, and all of these rappers apparently are killers.
Some of my friends who are in law enforcement refer to these sorts of incidents as misdemeanor murder.
Yeah, yeah. I've also heard the phrase,
No humans involved.
I've also heard the phrase self-cleaning oven used to describe the situation where killers kill killers. But yet another aspiring rapper update. And this is incredible, folks. Jacksonville, Florida. I told you I'm coming down there. Okay. I'm planning a trip to Florida, and I hope to speak to the sheriff down there in Jacksonville and find out what I can find out about this famous, its international attention is being directed toward Jacksonville, Florida, where two rival gangs of rappers have been at war for at least 4 years. One of the crew is known as ATK, Aces Top Killer, and it's led by rapper Kenyatta Bullard, a.k.a. Youngin Ace. All right? So that's ATK. Their rivals are known as KTA, which stands for Kill Them All. And they're led by rapper Charles Jones, a.k.a. Fulio. Okay? So it's very complicated. This week in Atlanta, authorities got hold of Abdul Kareem Robinson Jr., who is the sixth member of the ATK gang who has been arrested in connection with two different murders in Jacksonville, one of which was the 2020 shooting of 23-year-old Charles Quentin McCormick, a rapper known as Lil Buck, okay, and also the 2019 murder of 16-year-old rapper Adrian Gaynor, a.k.a. Bibby. So Bibby and Lil Buck both got killed by this, according to police, allegedly, he says, by the ATK gang shooters. Six people in custody on these two murders. Well, also, one of the people that was implicated in one of these murders is already dead. You see, he was killed in a 2019 shooting in Waycross, Georgia, where Ace of the ATK crew barely escaped with his life from that. He had previously been shot eight times in a shooting, a 2018 shooting, that killed his brother and two of his friends. That's Ace, who, by the way, now resides in Houston, Texas, because he can't live in Jacksonville no more. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, he's a dead man walking, because they gotta have him. He's still got to answer for Bibby's death, and just letting the cops arrest somebody, that don't count. See, this is Ace's guns. Well, with Ace's guns in prison now, see, the tactical advantage is now with Fulio's gang. See, they've got more guns, so sooner or later they're gonna hunt that fella down and put him down.
Well, you know, at least they're not racist.
But this is, yes, at least they're not racist. But yeah, this is, but yes, this is, you know, people are just killing each other.
Right, but at least they're not racist.
Well, unlike the English soccer player.
Metric football, yes. You wrote about metric football this week.
Yeah, apparently last weekend, the European Soccer Championship, what passes for football over there, the finals, and this is the first time in I don't know how long that England has made it to the European Championship finals, and they played Italy. The score was tied 1-1. At the end of regulation, so they played two overtime periods, no score. So it came down to a shootout. Okay, now each team gets five players to have penalty kicks, and that's how the shootout goes. Well, England had first two white guys who made their goals. Then three black guys, none of whom made their goals. And then the internet erupted with anger because it's English soccer fans. I mean, English soccer fans, soccer is to them what football is to Alabama. They live and breathe it. And there were claims that the criticism directed at the players was racist. But I got looking at some of what people were saying online, and the claim is, and I'm just throwing this out here, this is not my theory, but been, you know, some English soccer fans are saying that the reason this happened the way it happened was because the English coach wanted, for political reasons, to have a black player kick the winning goal. That's crazy to me. Okay, that's absolutely crazy. But it was supposedly some sort of political statement intended. And if that was so, it was stupid because he ended up setting them up to be the scapegoats for defeat, where he had wanted them to be the heroes in the victory. Instead, all three of them missed their goals, and so they ended up as the scapegoats, and it's just very bad.
Did you read among the thugs?
Say now what?
Among the thugs, I wrote it.
Diana.
Is that bad?
Yeah, Diana, you need to. There's something really screwed up with the connection.
Hanging up, coming back in. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, we were having some audio technical problems.
Yeah.
There.
Well.
And I believe John's going to have to troubleshoot that before next week.
Yep.
Anyways, but you know, but this kind of get woke, go broke kind of thing that where tokenism or tribalism, where it's this, it just doesn't belong there.
Well, so anyway, here. Well, we'll see if how Diana gets back in. I haven't seen her pop back up, so we'll just see what goes on there. Meanwhile, you know, we've got this whole thing about
systemic racism.
Yeah, well, it could be worse, and we have systemic racism apparently as a real problem here in the United States, and the Secretary of State has asked the United Nations formally to given them a formal standing invitation to send human rights experts to the United States in order to address our systemic racism problem. Systemic racism, Stacey, is the proper definition of it is the kind of racism that must exist when there's no evidence of the existence of racism. So it would be reasonable, I suppose, to look to an organization like the UN to solve a non-existent problem. Meanwhile, the current president of the UN Human Rights Council is from Fiji, so her experience being from a nation that's got a recent history of a voting system that heavily favored one ethnic group over all the others, and a government that suspended its constitution and arrested and detained opponents, you know, that might be useful for the Biden administration. So,
the thing is that this whole idea of human rights, right? Okay, that making human rights the basis of our foreign policy was something that Jimmy Carter started. Now,
But this is inviting other people to meddle in our human rights.
For about 30 years, prior to Jimmy Carter getting himself elected, the United States made opposition to communism the pole star mm-hmm. of our foreign policy.
Hold on a second. Did I hear Diane in the background?
You did.
And you're loud and clear. This is wonderful.
How are you doing, Diana?
I'm great. I'm sorry. I don't know what is going on with my condition.
I don't know. We're going to diagnose it. Sometime during the next week, we're going to do a closed show, you and me. We'll debug.
Figure
everything.
Out what it is. Well, anyways, but this idea of human rights, and making it all about human rights, supposedly which are universal. This was Jimmy Carter's thing. And it was Gene Kirkpatrick who replied to that with an excellent article in commentary called Double Standards for Dictators. And if you have not read Double Standards for Dictators, it makes the distinction between authoritarian governments and totalitarian governments, okay? Is that a communist regime is totalitarian in nature, whereas a strong man like Salazar in Portugal or Pinochet in Chile, that these authoritarian regimes do not change, do not even attempt to change the underlying society. And that's very important because you can recover from an authoritarian regime much better than you can, is that the damage inflicted by totalitarian regimes is disastrous.
Well, I'm just hoping that we can constrain the current administration to only being authoritarian.
Well, can we just go back to stop talking about human rights, because that's way too broad, and go back to civil rights? If we're talking about civil rights, the rights to free speech, freedom of assembly, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to one person, one vote, legitimately. As long as we're talking civil rights, we've got a sphere that we can define and protect from any kind of government interference. If we're talking human rights, what are we talking exactly? Because we're starting to hear people talking about transgender things as human rights, and I'm not sure that that's actually true.
Well, unless there's a right to insanity.
Well, what they're doing...
Evidently, the Supreme Court thinks there's a right to be crazy. I don't agree. Hey, Stacy, guess what?
Crazy people are dangerous.
You're right.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
But people who have been living under a totalitarian regime can become dangerous. Look what has happened in South Africa this week.
Yes. How bad is the violence in South Africa? It's even worse than Chicago. And I'm quoting here from, I believe it's Reuters. Crowds looted shops and offices in South Africa on Wednesday, defying government calls to end a week of violence that has killed more than 70 people and wrecked hundreds of businesses. The unrest, the worst in South Africa for years, also disrupted hospitals struggling to cope with a third wave of COVID-19. Protests were triggered by the jailing of ex-president Jacob Zuma for failing to appear at a corruption inquiry last week. The protests widened into looting and an outpouring of general anger over the hardship and inequality that persists 27 years after the end of apartheid.
Imagine living in a country where the president could be suspected of corruption.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, a revolution walks into a bar, and the bartender doesn't know how to make a Cuba Libre. AOC just had the most ridiculous. But you know, it wasn't the most lunatic thing this week. Facebook is promoting a documentary series called 9 Months with Courtney Cox, and Matt Walsh had a tweet about it. It's about a transgender couple, right? Where the husband got pregnant. And they've had a baby. And there's this picture here of the wife who has a penis trying to breastfeed.
What network is this on?
It's on Facebook.
Oh, it's a Facebook. Yes, Facebook has its own broadcasting. Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait. These are the people that are supposed to be suppressing misinformation?
Yeah, about health, biology.
Well, that's crazy, John.
Yes, well, don't know much about biology was the name of my post. That's another recurring thing. But yes, they're not the only crazy people in the universe, Stacy. We've run into a few of them as part of our blogging. And one of the gripes I have is that you seem to actually get a better class of crazies than I do.
Yeah, over the years, I have gone toe-to-toe with quite a few crazy people, including the notorious Barrett Brown. Barrett Brown, I'm trying to remember how he resurfaced this week, but, you know, I don't even think about him, right? Okay, but... Barrett Brown.
He's in London now.
In 2012, Barrett Brown went on YouTube, and this was during the 2012 campaign. And I was trying to cover the campaign. And anyways, and so while I was trying to cover the campaign, Barrett Brown apparently was trying to threaten me. To get me to do an interview with him or whatever. And I told him, I said, you're going down the road to destruction, buddy. You better watch out. Well, a few days later, he records a YouTube video in which he threatened to, quote unquote, destroy an FBI agent's family. Well, with yes. that and a few other things, he ended up going to federal prison for a little while, but he got out in 2016. And now his latest gig, and it's a long story, by the way, he flew via Antigua to London, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, and so he's been living in a houseboat on a river east of the city. Here's the headline. Here's the story. The American journalist Barrett Brown has been arrested and detained in the United Kingdom for allegedly overstaying his visa and for alleged public order and incitement offenses related to his role in holding a protest banner which said, quote, kill cops, close quote. Police arrested Brown, and I'm going to have to look and see what. Police arrested Brown in May at a canal boat moored in East London, where he had been living for several months with a British woman. He was interviewed and released on bail the following day, but immediately detained by immigration authorities. Brown told The Guardian he intended to, wait for this, claim asylum in the UK. Okay? He claims that he is being persecuted in the United States because of his journalism. And I'm like, what journalism has he done that anyone would want? But it's not going to go, this is not going to end well for Barrett Brown, I can tell you.
The thing is, the really sad thing is that when he's absolutely dead sober, he can actually write.
Yeah, apparently he's back on the junk and out of his mind again. Apparently, he said. But anyways, I hear the boogie-woogie music in the background.
Yeah, and it's time to scoot out of here. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then. And we're going to do our best to improve the audio from Georgia.
Yeah, we were having a bad signal there, but the signal of the boogie-woogie piano is coming in loud and clear. So if Barrett Brown is listening, just mellow out, man. Just stay out of our way. Crazy people are dangerous, and we're out of here.
Good night, Diana. Good night, Stacy.
Good night, guys.
Mr. Breeze.